Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed that you are here to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin our time of praise and worship. You'll notice in your bulletin a little postcard size insert, and we would just invite anyone to, during this season of Thanksgiving, November is the month that we pause and we focus on what we are truly thankful for. So just fill this out, put this in the offering plate when it comes by, and then that way we can put it on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. For we truly do have so much to be thankful for, and won't you just praise God in that way and share what you are truly thankful for. On the back of your bulletin, you'll notice with me that this morning, the War Room Bible study, it started in the upstairs adult Sunday school classroom. And I don't believe it's too late to get involved in that. So if you are feeling led to be a part of that Sunday school class, just show up next Sunday at 9 a.m. in the upstairs adult Sunday school classroom. It is that time of year again for Operation Christmas Child. And the boxes are on the table in the fellowship hall. What a neat opportunity to take a youngster in your life and pack a shoebox full of items that will be sent all around the world and to truly bless those young people who are in need in many different parts of the world. The date or the deadline to turn in your shoeboxes is Sunday, November 22nd, so we have a couple weeks. So as God leads, won't you be a part of that wonderful ministry? The last announcement is this Thursday we will be having some work done in the fellowship hall. And so we are in need of several men or women or a combination, individuals with strong backs and a willingness to move some of the tables and chairs immediately after the church service today so that the workers will be able to come in and do what they need to do and get done in a quick and efficient manner. So immediately after the service, if you have a couple moments, many hands makes light work. And won't you just be a part of that and clearing the floor so that the work on Thursday can get done and we can continue to take care of this wonderful property and resource that God has blessed us with. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts as we open our time with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the opportunity that you have blessed us with to sing praises unto your holy name. And so, Father, we set this time aside for your glory. We pray that you would take it and use it and glorify your name in it and by it and for it. And above all, that you would move our hearts and just set our hearts aflame with the Holy Spirit. And so we invite your holy abiding presence to be a part here, and we pray that you would move our minds, quicken our actions and our lives to be servants of you. And so, Lord, we just say, take this service, glorify yourself in it, by it, and for it, and through it, and we will thank you for what you will do because of it. And we pray this in the mighty name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise the Lord, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm following God.
I'm following God.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we are leaning on your everlasting arms, Lord. The fact that you came and you gave your only son that we may have a chance to live forever. Lord, what an awesome sacrifice you made for us, Lord. Father, allow us to remember that sacrifice. Allow us to take heed and remember that we need to put you first, Lord, in all things. Because he lives, what a chance we have to face tomorrow. Because he lives, what a chance we have. No more fear, it's all gone, and you hold our future. Allow us to remember to put you first. Father, we ask a special blessing over this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. He meant forgive. because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone.
As we bow our heads. Father, we thank you for being here today, Lord. We thank you for what you have done. What it must have been, such a major sacrifice to send your only son and allow us to be able to have an opportunity to live with you forever. Father, you are a great God. You're an awesome God. And allow our country and allow us to always put you first. And anything that's coming against that, Lord, please help us to block that. Allow us as our walk to be able to walk directly with you and have that direct contact, Lord, with you every single day. Father, we ask a special blessing over this service. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And you can meet Joanna at the door, and she will take you to your classroom, and you will learn much. This morning's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. We will be reading the first 10 verses. If you're utilizing your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1,666. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And so it may read a little bit different, but follow along as we listen to a reading from the Gospel of John. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said to them, "I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundantly." May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. This morning we are continuing our series titled The Abundant Life. In my course of studies, my undergraduate degree is in social sciences, and I share that with you because I love people. I like learning about people. I like learning about how people overcome things and how they interact with different, you know, obstacles and challenges and different things of that sort. So not too long ago, my attention was attracted when I learned that the Gallup poll in 2013 did a first poll of the world. And the poll was the well-being poll. And so in 2013, they polled some 135 countries. And they talked about five different categories, and they were talking and seeking to see the well-being of people all around the world. Now, their motivation for doing such was to see how resilient people are, how productive they are being in their life, what their outlook was. And then I started reading the results, and they studied five categories. They had the category of community, of social, or their interaction with people, of physical health, and then they also had finances on there. And then the last one, and I'm going to have to look at my notes here, is purpose, of what they liked doing. And so I started looking at the results, and I'll be honest with you, when I looked at the results of the countries, I was stunned, actually shocked, to see the different countries that were more grading well in the well-being poll. What actually shocked me more is when I looked at, you know, the 2014 updated poll, and when they surveyed these people, they would ask questions like, "Do you like what you do every day? Do you learn something new or interesting every day? Are you motivated to achieve your goals?"
Someone in your life always encourages you to be healthy. Your friends and family give you positive energy every day. You have love in your life. You have enough money to do everything you want to do. In the last 7 days, you have worried about money or not. Managing finances reduces your stress, and does it increase your security? Is the place where you live, is it a perfect place for you? In the last 12 months, you have received recognition for helping to improve the city or area where you live. Have you felt active and productive in your day over the last 7 days? Is your physical health good? Friends, the striking thing is this. Too often times I'm fearful that we as Americans, we look at the rest of the world and we don't understand how they could even begin to have such a well-being. And friends, from 2013 to 2014, the news is not good for Americans. Quite honestly, in 2013, we were 12th in the world. And in 2014, we slipped down to 23rd. The Latin American countries, they were all at the top. Panama ranked number one for the second year in a row. And you look at Panama and you think, what on earth is going on in Panama? Why are they having the best statistics or the best possible results or responses to be well-being? To have the most optimistic outlook, to have the most resilience. You know, it was just about a year ago that a team of 12 of us, we went down to Mexico. And one of the things that I can say universally that all of us said was this: the positive outlook, the smiles, in spite of their circumstances, in spite of the situation, in spite of their living conditions, we were stunned. Actually, we were aghast, some of us, at how they could be so happy. And friends, Mexico ranks above the United States. So we've been talking about the abundant life, and how does this apply? I'm going to tell you how it applies, is because Jesus, he came to die to give you and me access to the abundant life. Now, the staggering results are this. As I mentioned, Latin America, in particular, they have higher levels of well-being than any other regional group, says the Gallup poll. Residents of many Latin American countries are among the most likely in the world to report daily, positive experiences such as smiling and laughing, feeling enjoyment, and feeling being treated with respect every day. To put it succinctly, friends, only 1 in 6 adults worldwide, are considered to be thriving in this well-being poll. That's 1 in 6. That's like 17%. That's not very good odds. And this is in only 3 of those 5 categories. I want to share with you this morning that we have 2 options. We can settle for what the world has to offer. And the reason that Gallup is doing this poll is to generate and to gauge the productivity of people. And so money is the bottom line, and it's the productivity and the resilience of a people group. So their objective is not for your best interest or mine. We have 2 choices here. We can settle for what the world has to offer, or we can look and see what Jesus Christ, the living God, the risen Savior, the one who came to die to purchase abundant life for you and for me, offers you. And I'm going to posit to you here this morning that we don't have to settle for just 3 out of the 5 categories, and we don't have to just roll the dice and say, okay, I hope that I'm one of the 17% in the world. I hope that I start to thrive. I hope that all of these circumstances and all of these, you know, elements outside of my control, I hope that I am one of the ones that fall into that category. We don't have to hope, because friends, we know. We know Jesus came that you and I would have, we might have. May in John 10, verse 10, is the most important word right there. He said he came so that you may, that I may, that we might have abundant life. And the reason why that 3-letter word is the most important is because it's in the realm of possibility. And the possibility rests with you and with me. It rests with whether or not we accept what Jesus bought and paid for us or not. That's the thing. And when the church gets it right, when Christians get it right, the world takes notice and the world is blessed. Last week I shared with you the secret to living the abundant life, and the secret was asking the question, is that a wise thing to do? This week I want to share the other half of that, and we're going to find our text in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Now, the Apostle Paul, he penned this letter to the church at Colossae, and he was seeking to encourage them, to speak to them, and to place things in order, to place the preeminence of Jesus, meaning that Jesus is the first. He is the only one in all realms of life. And beginning in verse 12 of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul pens, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, you might think about underlying verse 17. Then he says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Then he moves on about relationships, and he talks about husbands and wives and children and parents, and then slaves and masters. And then let's look at verse 23. He says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." You see, verse 17 and then verse 23, it acts like a bookend, and it tells us that we need to have our focus upon God to glorify Him. And this is the other end of what we talked about last week. We first ask, is that a wise thing to do? And then this week, my challenge is to ask all the time in everything that we do, does that glorify God? And when we think about the heart of God, we know that God is the one that wants you and me to be fulfilled in life. He doesn't want us to live this lackluster life. He doesn't want us to be pawns in this world of these governments that are only worried about productivity and the gross domestic product. He doesn't want us to worry about that. And friends, if you think about living your life according to God's way, you will experience the abundance life. He wants that for you. He is the one who wants you to experience purpose in life. That's well-being, a focus, a direction, having the purpose of reflecting. And that's exactly what bringing glory to God is. It's reflecting His goodness. It's revealing who God is to this world. And that's what God has for you and for me. And that's your purpose and mine. I have to believe that individuals all around the world that don't have the stuff that we have, that don't have the cares and concerns that we have, that don't have the worries that we have, they might be a little bit closer to experiencing the purpose that God has for them in this life. And friends, God is the one who offers, and He does provide you and me the way to live out His purpose for you and for me. But the connection is this, friends, that God seeks to connect to you and to me through the death of His Son, Jesus, and He has given us Jesus, who glorified God the Father in everything. Let's think about those five categories. We don't have to settle for three. When you think about purpose, you think about you being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You think about you being the image bearer, the one who has the stamp of the Creator God upon your life. And no matter where you go, you reflect who God is. That, my friends, is a purpose that only God can give to you. It's a purpose that no other place or no other organization that this world has to offer can ever give to you. To reveal and to reflect the love that God has poured into your heart. That is a purpose. You think about community, and I think about the church of fellow followers of Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, those individuals that speak encouragement, that share words of love and affirmation and uplifting the community. Friends, that's two out of the five. You think about the finance aspect of it. And I'm here to tell you that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And the scripture says that even Solomon, glorified and clothed in all of his splendor, didn't have the array of what God has created in this world. And when we choose to live outside of God's provision, we are choosing to live outside of the will of God for your life and for mine. But when we choose to align our life with Him and what He has provided for you and for me, we have the freedom, free from the stress of the bills and free from the worries of where we're going to pay for what we have obligated ourselves to pay for. That's three out of the five. The last one, the physical aspect of it, is this. When we live and experience the abundant life, instead of stress, instead of anxiety, our hearts are filled with peace. They're filled with calmness. They're filled with assurance. They're filled with confidence because we don't have all of these weighted things hanging on us and carrying us to places we shouldn't go. The social aspect of it is this. When you think about being social, and you think about interacting with brothers and sisters in Christ who exhort you to go further, who encourage you to go on the road towards God, then friends, we are at five out of five. And so my question is, why do we want to settle for only three out of five with a worldly gauging evaluation system when we have Christ who can give us all five out of five and we can experience the abundance in life and we don't have to submit ourselves to what the world calls being well? Because God has something better for you. He has something better for me. There is no pole under the sun that could ever gauge what God will give to you, what the abundant life will be in your heart and in your soul, because the freedom and everything that we think about. When I was doing my undergrad studies, I came across a wellness wheel. And a wellness wheel looked like a pie. And it had all these little wedges shaped with different components of life. And you know what the interesting thing is they're all interconnected. And so when we ask the question, does that glorify God in one area of life, it's going to spill over into another area of life. When we get our finances in order and we seek to glorify God in our finances, it's going to spill over into our community. It's going to spill over into, and you might ask how? Well, your finances are in order, you can give more. Your finances are in order, you're more at peace. Your finances are in order, you're more calm. Your finances are in order, you're not working so much overtime. And now you have more family time. And see, friends, it spills over to every other aspect of life. That's the beauty of it. When we think about our social or our community aspect, and we think about interacting with only those people, and we've talked about this over the last several weeks, only those people that give and pour into you and encourage you and exhort you, then you know what? You're not going to be drugged down. You're not going to be giving away what God has given to you. You're going to have more freedom. You're going to have more opportunity to speak life into other people's hearts and souls. You're going to be able to do what God's asking you to do. And so, friends, we need to acknowledge that it's not just one aspect of life. And I was wrestling with this whole message, and I was thinking, you know, when we ask the question, does it glorify God? It seems like a huge, broad statement to ask. But it's not, friends. It's not. Because everything in our life is so interconnected. Everything in our life is connected to everything else. And so when we seek to glorify God, and Isaiah 43, verse 7 says this. It says, and those who God had called, and that's you and me, friends. He called you and me to bring glory unto Him. The Westminster Confession says it this way, that the chief end of all people is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You see, we start out with the glorifying God part, but then because we want to live outside of the provisions that God has given to us and go into debt and all these other aspects of life, we can't truly enjoy Him. We want to start out by glorifying God in the social aspect of enjoying friendships and other people and encouraging one another. But when we get wrapped up in unhealthy relationships, then we all of a sudden don't have anything to give into those healthy relationships. We want to glorify God in our families, but yet we're so wrapped up in being in debt that we can't eat dinner with our own families. And so you see how it all ebbs and flows. And so the question, the second half is this. It may seem so broad of a context, but it's not. Does it glorify God? We need to ask that question. If you don't want to settle for 3 out of the 5, which I personally don't, I want what God wants. I want God's best. I want God's best for all of you. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for my life. I don't want to settle for 3 out of the 5 categories. Forget that, because now we are settling, and we do it every single day. When we settle for going into debt, when we settle for being in unhealthy relationships, when we settle for being involved in community activities that don't have any bearing or merit, we settle, we settle, we settle. And God says, I have come that you might, it's possible, you may have abundant life. It's your choice and mine. He bought and purchased it for you. He bought and purchased it for me. The question is, are we going to align our life in all these areas? Now, next week, we're going to start digging into the last 2 aspects of it. And then we'll be finished with this series. But the sad reality is this. Sometimes we as Americans, we think that we are so first world country that we look down on all these other third world countries. Well, guess what? The third world countries are doing better than this first world country. What's that tell you? It tells me a whole lot. Pride goes before a fall. It tells me that God uplifts the humble, but he gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. And so when we think about the abundant life, not only do we start, is that a wise thing to do? But is this glorifying God? And if it's glorifying God, run with it, do it, go for it, have at it. If it's not glorifying God, and if it's only for your own selfishness, you better stay away. If it's glorifying God, do it. You see, Jesus lived that life. He lived a life totally glorifying God. From birth to crucifixion, he glorified God, glorified God, glorified God, glorified God, and that's our call. As Isaiah 43:7 says, God called you to glorify him. He called me to glorify him, and that is a purpose, friends, that no other individual will ever be able to give to you. You can make all kinds of widgets you want to make. You can create all the widgets in the world, but you know what? The widgets aren't going to give you the opportunity to reveal to this world the love of a creator God who says, I have so much for you. And that's what he says to you this morning. That's heavy on my heart. He wants you to know that he has so much for you today, and yet you refuse to receive it. That's harsh, but it's true, friends. You see, Jesus didn't come to die to save us from hell. He came to die to give us life and life to the full. And that's the essence of the Savior dying for you and for me. And you know what? When I look at the little ones, I think of these little kids, and you of you, those of you that are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You want what's best for your kids, do you not? You betcha you do. I want what's best for this church. I want what's best for this country. I want what's best for the community of Gibsonburg. I want what's best. And the only thing that is best is what God wants for you and for me. There is no second best. That's what I want. And see, Jesus, he rescued us from that life of meaninglessness so that you and I can have a life of purpose, of abundance, beyond anything we could ever imagine. And so what does God call us to do? I'm going to close with this. Calls us to be intentional in our actions. And we are intentional in our actions by realizing that our choices reflect God to the world. And that's really what glorifying God means. It really means just to reflect God to the world. When you bring glory to God, you reflect him to the world in his truth, in his wholeness, in his perfection, in his love, in his mercy, in his forgiveness. That's what he calls us to do. And Jesus calls us to understand that your purpose and mine is to glorify Him. And friends, you and I, we understand God's purposes for our lives. When we ask, does that bring glory to God? And we need to surrender our actions to the question, will that glorify God? And so friends, that's my challenge. I think Val has something to share. If you want to come forward, that'd be awesome.
I just want to read a scripture. Mm-hmm. This is what. Just put on my heart for and asked me to read, so I will read. And it's from 2 Chronicles 7, starts at 14. And God says, if my people, and we are His people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
Thank you, Val. It is very true that we are all called according to God. He's called us all. And so in this whole message, you know, just hearing that verse, we have a choice. We can continue down the road that we're going on, and we'll continue to see America's well-being, which is all driven by productivity and money. That's all it's driven by. It's not a well-being of heart. They don't care about that. They want to see how well we are in producing to pad the pockets. And so we can continue that way, or we can turn, and anything outside of God's will of bringing Him glory, friends, it is sin. It's sin. So we turn from that, and we turn to God, and we say, does it glorify Him? If it glorifies Him, run with it. Let's do it. That's my hope for Trinity United Methodist Church. That's my hope for you, is that we will never, ever, ever settle for second best. We will never settle for something that God has said, hey, that's really not what I came to die to give to you. We will only settle for what God wants for you and for me. And friends, God has all five categories and then some. He's not limited by categories, nor is He limited by human interpretation of what it means to be well. The wellness in God is the abundance, the overflowing, the spilling over life, the life that has no end, the life that is all-encompassing, full of joy, full of love, full of enjoyment and peace and assurance and confidence. That's the love. That's the abundant life. But we must turn. We must move. We must turn away and turn toward God. And so, friends, as we close here this morning, let us bow our heads and our hearts. And may we just take a few moments quietly and softly as I open up in prayer. And may we just confess, just quietly, right where you're at. If there's an area of your life that needs to be brought in alignment with God and His will for you. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your peace. Jesus, we thank You that You came to give us something far beyond anything that any person could ever calculate or measure. And Father, I know it's my heart's desire not to settle for second best. And Jesus, I thank You for my friends, and it's our heart's desire not to settle for second best. We want what You want. We want the best. We want the abundance. We want the overflowing, the unending, the filled up life, the zeal, the joy. Those are the things that we want. We want what You want for us, O Jesus, and what that means and what it looks like. So, Father, we pray for Your forgiveness, for those areas where we've run outside of Your will, where we have operated in areas of selfishness and pride and arrogance. And we pray, O Jesus, for Your forgiveness, and we ask, as we confess them before you right now, silently and quietly, in our minds, in our hearts. Lord God, we thank you for your forgiveness. We pray that your abundance would be evident to all, to the world. And we pray, oh Jesus, as we get those areas of life back in line with you, that you would grant us mercy and strength, and you would sustain us and bless us with the confidence that only comes from you. And Lord Jesus, may you just be the strength in our soul to continue to serve you well, to bless you, to reflect your glory, to reflect all of your attributes to this world, and by doing so, to bring glory to you. So, Father God, we thank you and we love you. We praise you now in the blessed name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As Pastor said, our God's not a limited God. Our God is an awesome God. He doesn't limit anything. He wants everything for us. These altars are open if you need anything from God. If you just want to connect with him, just praise him, or just give him the glory. Allow him to work in your life, because when he calls our name, we will rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may
peace I've come to.
though my heart and flesh may fail.
As we close here this morning, that is God's will for you and for me, to know that peace, the peace that comes from Christ who overcame the grave, who overcame death, who conquered sin as well. And so friends, the abundant life, it starts with Jesus. And as you seek to align your life with His and to bring glory to God the Father, your life too will rise. It will rise and the peace will flood your heart. It will flood your very being and it will fill your soul. And you will be overcome with the confidence, with the assurance, with the love, the grace and the truth that only comes from a risen Savior. And so Jesus, He wants that for you and He wants that for me. As we close, just remember, if you're able to help clear the fellowship hall, please stay after for a few moments. And now may the God of all grace, who has risen from the dead, who has conquered sin and death, may He truly flood your heart and soul with His love, His peace, and grant you the forgiveness of sins that all of us are in need of. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.